All right. I was going to say you may be seated, but you beat me to the punch. Nicely done. Nice to know that you know the rhythm of things. We have, through the month of July, this is the third Sunday in July, cray-cray, that it's already mid-July, Christmas in July letters. Be expecting those in the mail. They're coming soon. You wrote them to your future self back in December, so it'll be fun to see what your future self, your past self, said to your future self. But no, this month we are participating in what is called a summer slowdown. And so we're joining with churches around the country, maybe even around the world, through an organization called Practicing the Way. And they have put out a guide for how to experience, practice, rest in community. And so there's, we've been going through this guide. There's copies of it in the back. It's also been in the weekly emails. I'm not preaching directly from this. This is a guide for you, but it serves as a framework for what we're engaging for the month of July. And it's funny, like I just thought July would be slow. I thought summer would be slow. It has not been. It's been a really full summer. And I think slowing down, I don't know about you, but it doesn't come naturally for me. And so when we started this practice of the summer slowdown, we started with slowing down our exterior lives, our outer worlds. Like we're so busy and like maybe beginning to create margin. We're practicing margin. And then the second week we talked about slowing down our interior, our inner worlds. That was last week. And we talked about when we start to slow down externally, we realize that there's a lot going on internally, and it's just like our minds are going a mile a minute, and it's hard to slow down. And so we talked about what to do with distractions and how to navigate that. And this morning, we're going to begin the third movement, if you will, of opening our lives. Once we slow down what's going on in our world, once we slow down inside, it's like, okay, we're creating room for God. And I don't know about you, but I find it pretty scary at times. When I have room for God, what's he going to do? Is he going to show up? What's going to happen, right? So we're going to talk about that this morning. But first, I'd love to hear from you. Just, we're practicing different things. And there's been some practice suggestions in this guide that perhaps you've been using. We talked about different prayer practices last week for how to slow down the interior, our minds and stuff. And so I'd love to hear from you. Just for a few moments, we're going to open up the mic. Would love to hear from you. How has this week been of trying to slow down? How'd it go? And a fair answer is, I failed miserably, right? That's a fair answer. And if you have tried to slow down and be still, what did you do? What practices did you try? And again, how did it go? And then are there any practices that you have found helpful over this last week or 2 weeks, really? So I want to open up the microphone for you. Would love to hear from you. I do have a sermon, so I am preparing to preach, but would love to hear just briefly from a few of you if you have something to say. How's it going? How did you slow down? What has been helpful? What has been hard? All right. So come on up when you're ready. All right. Come on up. It's always brave to be the first one to come on up. I know.
Hi, I'm Jamie.
Hi, Jamie.
Mine's a little controversial.
You're what?
Mine's a little controversial.
Oh, okay.
I find so much peace in my yoga practice. And I say controversial. I have a judgy uncle who's like, oh, all the gods and the deities and da-da-da. And I don't worship the gods and deities. I really see my yoga practice as a time that I'm with Jesus, right? Like nobody really truly knows between what goes on between you and Jesus, like right in your heart. And even to the point where, like, at the end when everyone's saying namaste, I'm like, thank you, Jesus. Thanks be to God. Like, and I just find it's this time to practice. It's warm. It's an hour. It's a room filled with people who are really generally just good people who, you know, I mean, the messages I hear are so similar to here. It's like, you know, introduce yourself to the person next to you, breathe peace out into the world, you know, whatever it is, it's like a positive experience. And for me, it's this slowdown of like, thank you, Jesus, for these knees that still work and, you know, that work so hard and this back that works so hard. And thank you for my legs that carry me every day. And it's just this practice of gratitude. And I even got to see my sister Judy Potter once. And like, if we can all be as amazing as her, Right. So that's where I just find a slow down, mindfulness, in touch with my heart, in touch with Jesus. And it went from like Shavasana, 5 minutes of like, okay, so I need to go to the grocery store and I need to get this. And I wonder what Miles is doing, to like, okay, God. So I think baby steps. Yeah.
So good. Thank you. Come on up.
Good morning. I think it was 2 weeks ago. This summer has not been slow. Mm-hmm. We have two kids getting married within 3 weeks of each other. So I kind of was like, ha ha, that's hysterical, Jill. But it was really good. About 2 weeks ago, we have a tiny little cabin up in Indian Hills. And I went up and I'm like, normally slowing down the external really helps me. So I went up there, bought my Bible. I was just ready. And like, it didn't happen. My mind was just racing every time I tried to do something. It was like, yeah, couldn't. Oh, I forgot that text. Oh, I need whatever. So I had brought a fiction book and I just said, Lord, I got to get my head into a different space. So I just started reading this book for 3 hours. And in the middle of that, the Lord was meeting me. I was like, through this story, I was seeing God's goodness. And so I'd stop and I'd worship and I'd pray. And he used that when I couldn't stop my mind. I just couldn't. And so that was a beautiful thing. And then the other thing, as Stuart and I, we've also moved and done a few other crazy things in the last couple months. But in the midst of it, I just said, honey, I'm going to have to come in for hugs, like a lot. Just, we don't have a lot of time. We're not going on long dates and doing all those, you know, fun little romantic things. Just like, I'm just going to have to come in. So probably, I don't know, 4, 5, 6 times a day, I'm like coming in. And so like, he'll hold me for about a minute and we're back to what we need to do. And last week I was sitting in front of TJ Maxx, returning of Mother of the Bride's dress, whatever. That is like so awful. Trying to find, and a mother of the groom, you know. So I just said, Jesus, I got 10 minutes. That's all I got. Would you meet me? Would you just meet me in this? So in the parking lot, I just started journaling and I felt like the Lord sweetly said, you know how you're coming in for hugs with Stuart? And anytime you say I'm coming in, he's there. Said, you know, you can do that for me too. You can do that with me. And so I feel like that's what I've been just trying to do. Like, okay, Jesus, I'm coming in and I may have a minute and letting him meet me in that minute.
So good. So good. Love it. One more. One more person. Come on up, Grace. I think that's a good phrase. Would you meet me, God? That just is powerful. It sounds like a childlike question. Come on up, Grace, and we'll,
So Grandma Sharon had a knee surgery, and I've been her in-home caretaker for the last week and a half, and I've kind of been doing the slowdown with her, because she's going through surgery, and that's really hard, so I just have her take a breath after her PT works, and go, we need to take a minute for God, and we just kind of breathe, and we pray for healing, for people around her, for Nancy, and I'm just kind of reminding her that even though you can't be here at church, God is always with you everywhere you go. So she also misses all of you, and she loves you, and she is doing better, just so everyone knows. But yeah, we do take a moment to just kind of thank God for the fact that she got through surgery, and she has me, and she has ham sandwiches that she loves, and so... but yeah, she's doing better. And I thank God because he's kind of calmed me down a little bit too, because he reminded me that I have such a blessing in my life as a grandmother, because I grew up with no grandmothers and then I married into the family and now I have a beautiful grandmother.
Yeah. So,
if everyone could just keep praying for her, that'd be great. Thank you.
Thanks, Grace. Thanks, Jamie and Jenny and Grace. Being grateful for your knees working, Jamie, is no joke. So many knee surgeries past and coming up in this room. It's crazy. Kay's having her knee surgery Tuesday. So no jokes. Let's pray for Sharon. Let's pray for Kay and for all those who are recovering from knee surgery. So, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I hope that was helpful. Those are a few practices that some folks have found helpful. There's many more. Many more that may be more applicable or customized to you, slowing down. I have found, and I just said this a moment ago, so I'm repeating myself, but I have found that when I do slow down, I and my thoughts quiet down, I am then left with feeling vulnerable before the Lord. And I don't like that sometimes. And my old background, which I'm so grateful for so many things, but it was a legalistic environment. And so this guilt just comes up. And what I'm aware initially when I sit before the Lord is where I missed the mark and where I failed. If I stay there, not run away from being in that vulnerable place for the Lord, I find that he meets me in that space. And he brings grace. And he brings presence. And at times I feel held by him in the middle of that. But there's a reason why we struggle to open our lives up to God, right? It's kind of like a child or a pet, two different things. I'm not comparing children to pets, but I'm just saying they respond similarly when they get caught or when they do something wrong, they want to hide, right? They don't want to be seen. It's really hard to come out and sit in the awareness or the vulnerability of being discovered in our faults, right? And we can sometimes feel that way when we come or try to get in the presence of God. And so we're going to look at that today together. So we're in maybe a familiar passage to you, Psalm 139, and we have a couple of readers. So if you want to come on up and read in Spanish, and then Cecilia will come up and read in Portuguese, if you want to start us out, Ben.
Examíname, oh Dios, y conoce mi corazón. Pruébame y conoce mis pensamientos, y ve si hay en mi camino de perversidad, y guíame en el camino eterno.
Beautiful. Love it. So good. Thank you. Cecilia, do you have it on your phone? If you want to come on up and read it in Portuguese. Did you know that, technology is amazing, that we can access any language on our phone? Pretty awesome. Come on up and to the microphone. Thank you, Ben, for reading. Sorry for the technical difficulties, you guys. Okay. Well, I'm going to read it first, and then I'll have her read it. And I'm going to read it. I'm going to read first in English, and I'm going to go through the book of this chapter in sections. And that'll give Cecilia some time to look it up. And we're going to start Psalm 139. It's in your handout. It'll be, I don't know if we'll have it on the screen, but it's on the handout. Psalm 139, verses 1 through 6. So let's read it together. I need my reading glasses. All right. This is a psalm. We think of David. David's writing these words, and he says, "You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, Lord, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain." Let's pause here. Are we ready? Yep. Okay, come on up, Cecilia. Can we give it up for Cecilia? And then for Ben, for...
Vamos ler a Bíblia com Salmo 139, 23 e 24. Sente-me, ó Deus, e conheço o meu coração. Prove-me e conheço os meus pensamentos. 24. Vê se há em mim algo, caminho mau, e guia-me pelo caminho eterno. La palabra de Dios.
Thank you. Beautiful. These words that Cecilia read and are here in these first few verses, it says, "You have searched me." David is saying that to God. You have searched me. This idea of you have investigated me. Yikes. You have investigated me, Lord. You have considered in detail my life. And you know me. You have searched me and you know me. You have knowledge about me. David starts off like that. How many of you have ever heard of the words, well, I'm not a mind reader. You ever said it? We usually say those words, or the implication is that the person who says those words is saying, I can't read your mind. I don't know what you want. I don't know your expectations in this moment. Like when you ask a friend or a spouse, what do you want for dinner? You ask that because you don't know, right? And so you're asking because you want to know. But here we see that God's knowledge is something completely different. Our knowledge, our ability to know is limited, and yet God's ability to know is something completely different. It says here, he knows and sees everything, that he doesn't miss anything. And more than that, his knowing is personal. It's discerning. It's perceptive. It's engaged. It's familiar. He knows your mind and mine better than you and I do. So later on today, we're in just a little bit, we're going to have this celebration of life for Nancy Chin, and we're going to eat pizza. And her favorite part of the day, I hear, is eating dessert. So we're going to have lots of desserts too. But we're going to share various stories of Nancy. And now, I only knew Nancy for about 20 years, which sounds like a long time. But she died when she was 90, right? So I didn't know her for 70 years of her life. And even in those 20 years, I didn't know every minute of her day. I would see her on Sundays, sometimes on Wednesday mornings for Bible study, other times during the week. When my kids were really little, we'd go to her house. So my slice of knowing Nancy is limited. If you look at a pie, right? We had one piece of that pie that we knew Nancy. There was so much more to Nancy than I knew. Now, my slice of knowing with my kids is different. I knew Nancy a little bit. I know my kids a lot more, especially now that they're still young. When they get older, I probably won't know them as well or know as much about them. But some of my kids, some of what I know is what I observe, right? I observe how they live. I observe how they interact with each other. I observe what they like, what they don't like. Some of it I experienced with them. When we went camping, we experienced that. I knew that about them. And some of it I learn if they tell me. And yet my slice of knowing my children, it's bigger than knowing Nancy, but it's not complete. I don't know the inner workings of their mind. And even more than that, I don't know the inner workings of their bodies. I know some. I know if they have cavities or not. I know if they've taken a bath or not. I know if they have a scrape or not. But I don't know everything, what's going on internally for them. My slice of knowing is limited. And David says something really interesting here in verse 5. He says, you hem me in before and behind. And it's this idea of enclosure, of protective enclosure. You hem me in, you guard me in, right? So he knows where we are. He knows where we're going. He knows what's in our hearts, and he's before us and he's behind us. He hems us in. It can be overwhelming to know someone a lot, right? To know someone's story, it can be a lot to hold. And it can be intimidating to think about someone, God, knowing us fully, that he knows all the slices of the pie, that he knows everything about us. And the writer of Psalms here agrees. As we keep reading, you're going to see he agrees. We see this writer moving from this feeling of wonder, like, oh, Lord, you know everything about me, to where can I get away from you? You're everywhere. So let's read. Psalm 139, picking up in verse 7, he says, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there, your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. It's one thing to believe that God is ever present and he's near us and he's close to us all. It's another thing to become aware that he knows and sees all, right? Like all. One of my Starbucks barista friends, I hang out a lot at the Starbucks at Iliff and Parker. That's my place. And one of my friends there reads books on her break. And whenever I see her and I see that she's reading a book, I'm like, what are you reading? And all that kind of stuff. And she had recently mentioned that she wants to read the book 1984 by George Orwell. Has anybody ever read that? I have not. I am typically not a fan of dystopian literature. I don't need help in being depressed, right? So I tend to avoid literature like that. But she said, well, I want to read 1984. And I'm like, can I read it with you? And so it's turned into about five of us who are slowly reading through the book by George Orwell, 1984. And we have plans in the beginning of September to have a book club at my house. Maybe the only time we ever meet. I don't know. Who knows what this will turn into. But we're going to discuss 1984. And so I've been reading it. I've read like the first 60 pages. And there's hundreds. So I have a long ways to go. But it's interesting what I've learned so far. So in this book, the setting is this highly policed state. So everything is policed, their eyes everywhere. There's cameras and their eyes everywhere. And it's where the term Big Brother came from. I did not know that. But the term Big Brother comes from the book 1984. And in this highly policed state, there are these big posters and pictures of Big Brother, of this image on every corner, so you always see these eyes looking at you, yeah? Why people want to read this book, I don't know. Sounds horrible. But what's even worse is that not only is this a highly policed state where Big Brother's eyes are everywhere, but they also have a thing called a thought police. Like technology, apparently, in this book, has advanced so far that there is an entity that can read your thoughts, so even your thoughts aren't safe. Right? And you have to be very careful where you allow your thoughts to go, because if you stay there too long, the thought police will come in and do something bad to you. You have to be super on guard all the time. So when we read about God being everywhere, right, and seeing all things, and that there's no place that we can hide, it kind of makes us think of God as this big brother, right? This big brother who was scanning all of our minds and all of our hearts and just waiting to catch us doing something wrong. And the impulse, and again, if you grew up in a legalistic environment like I did, that's a strong temptation. And the impulse is to resist or even to run from this all-seeing and all-knowing God. This temptation to run from him is something that's been present in humankind since the Garden of Eden, so for thousands of years. So if you feel tempted to run from God, join the club. Satan wants us to believe that he is that big brother whose eyes are everywhere, just waiting to catch you, to see that you mess up, and then to bring down his hammer of wrath. But what if that isn't what's happening here? What if David here in Psalm 139 is talking about the all-seeing, all-knowing, loving presence of God? We're looking at his all-knowing and his all-seeing through his lens of love, his lens of grace, that there's no place his love can't reach. You can't run so far that his love can't run after you. Romans 8, 38 and 39, this is the Apostle Paul. He says, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord." That's the lens that we are invited to look at, this all-seeing, all-knowing God, that there is no place we can run to get away from his love. The theologian Karl Barth has said, love this, We are forbidden to take sin more seriously than grace. Let me say that again. We are forbidden to take sin more seriously than grace, or even as seriously as grace. Now, God takes sin very seriously. You don't have to go far. Looking earlier in the book of Romans to see that Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're missing out. We've missed the mark. Romans 6:23, he says, for the wages of sin, the result, the consequences of our sin is death. We've fallen short. Sin is serious in the eyes of God, but how much more is his grace serious? Romans 5:8, but God demonstrated his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, while we were in the middle of our stuff, he died for us. His eyes see all. His loving eyes see all. He sees our sin, but his grace is the thing that first moves towards you. His grace is the divine initiation that he takes towards you. When he was on the cross suffering for yours and my sin, he said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they do. We are forbidden to take sin more seriously than grace. If God takes his grace more seriously than your sin, how does that change things for you? When he knows all about you, when he knows more about you than you know about yourself, how does his grace matter? Let's keep reading. We're almost concluding here. Psalm 139, verse 13. He says, for you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I'm still with you. It's as if the writer of the Psalms here, David, he's working through his own understanding and vision of God. Okay, God is wonderful. He sees me. He knows me. Dang, God sees me and knows me. But wait a minute. He sees me and knows me. And he still loves me. And he created me for love and to receive his love. David is talking himself through perhaps his desire to hide and run from God's all-seeing, all-knowing eye, and to recognize and fixate on God's loving purpose for him. God is the good creator of even our bodies. His care and creativity and purpose are infused with grace. Let's read the last section. Psalm 139, 23 and 24. It bookends. First, David said, you have searched me. And then the tense of the verb changes, and it's a fascinating, I think, invitation. David works through his stuff, and then he says, search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. It's like he goes from this place of, well, I know that you see all things and you know all things and you are everywhere, to the point where he's like, I want more. Search me. Search me and see what's getting in the way of my ability to experience your love. Search me and see and test my anxious thoughts. They're too much, Lord. Come and help me get rid of the things that are interfering with my ability to experience your love. I skipped a few verses, didn't I? Sorry about that. We're going to have to come back to that another time. So we concluded with those verses. this being hemmed in. Remember what I talked about, the being hemmed in by God's grace? He said in verse 5, it's like God hems us in before and behind. He hems us in with his grace and his love. We are completely enfolded by his grace. And because of that, we can be honest with God about the best and the worst parts of ourselves, the worst parts of our stories, the best and worst parts of our lives. Because he says that his grace is sufficient, that his grace is present even before we honestly confess before him. And his grace is still present even after our honest laments and complaints and sadness that we bring to the Lord. It is God's ever-present grace, his all-seeing grace, his all-knowing grace that holds us secure. Kind of like Jenny talking about Stuart holding you for a minute, several times a day. It's God's love that holds us secure and empowers us to say, search out my heart, Lord. Bring the wounded and yucky parts to light and heal them. Because God already knows it all. He knows it all. You don't have to say, search me and know me. He already does. What he's waiting for is for you to say, come in. I open my heart to you. I want you to do your healing work. I need to receive your healing grace. He wants us to bring our hidden parts to him so that he can bring his healing to them. Let me bring this in for a close. We're not going to be able to do our typical guided reflection at the end of the service, but I'm going to give you a minute to sit with those words, search me, O God, and know my heart. Know my anxious thoughts. Invite him into that space. Open your heart to him and invite him in to that space. So let's just sit in the space for a moment and then I'll close us. Perhaps in this last moment, invite the Lord to say, Lord, would you meet me in this space? Whatever space you're feeling, whatever's coming to the surface, good or bad, ask the Lord to just meet you in this space. Lord, thank you that you are an all-seeing and all-knowing and ever-present God who says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Thank you that you are a just and holy God who offers mercy. That you are a God who understands this world as it is, not as we want it to be. And in the middle of it all, you offer your peace. You offer your hope. And in the middle of our stories, whether we've worked through our stories and the traumas or not, that you are a God who brings healing and restoration. That your grace outweighs our sin. So, Lord, I pray for those in this room. I pray that you would meet them both in this space and as they leave today. Lord, I pray that they would feel your delight, your hope, your rest, your grace. Because there's more than enough. In your name we pray. Amen. I invite you to stand as we prepare to leave. I would encourage you. There are some great reflection questions. We didn't get to do those today, but take this as you leave. I think there's a few copies in the back, or check the weekly email. This is a wonderful practice for you to explore over the course of July. With that being said, just a couple quick notes, and then I'll send you out. So we're going to have Nancy Chin's Celebration of Life. It's really going to be a party, right? We already had a sermon. We don't need another one, right? But we're going to celebrate Nancy, so we invite you to stay for that. We're going to transition here in just a moment. We have pizza and lemonade and different desserts and stuff. We're going to get that set up. And if you want to stay, feel free to go get your kids and then come back in here, and we'll get started around 12 noon. It'll be about an hour. So with that being said, if you leave or you stay, remember that everyone whose path you cross, they carry a heavy load. They carry this vulnerability that they're not enough. That if people really knew them, they would run away. And yet we trust and believe in an ever-present, all-seeing God who loves you, whose grace is greater than all of our sin. And he meets us in those places of pain. So be good to yourself. Be kind to those you meet. Grab that hand of your Heavenly Father who walks with you, who hems you in as you walk, and grab the hand of a friend. In the love of Jesus, go and celebrate. Amen? Amen? Go in peace.